Hello? Hello? Is there anybody here? Hey! Hey! Is anybody here?
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. What is love? Baby, don't...
Welcome, everybody. My name is Mike, and this is...
I am Danielle.
And we are trying out this whole podcast thing.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We are calling it the... Raging Imagination.
I thought it was Raging Imagineers.
No, that's who we are.
Oh, okay.
The Imagineers are talking about our imagination.
Excellent. Okay, that makes way more sense now.
Yes. And I had this idea. I've been wanting to do a podcast for a while. And I've had this idea that how art or theater, in my case, it's theater. And I got a whole history of how art affected me differently. But... most profoundly, theater in the last 15, 20 years has been big on me, and it helped me find me. And then in my worst times and in my best times, theater tends to rear its head as a cause or a solution.
Yeah. I've just recently entered the world of theater, and it has been kind of like a... thrilling way to discover something brand new about myself that I didn't really know I had.
What did you discover about yourself that's new?
That's new? That I can get on stage and pretend to be someone else and have an absolute blast with it.
Ah. So, it's such an infancy. I remember the first time I ever got on stage. It was Anna Green Gables. Not Anna Green Gables. Little Orphan Annie. And I played a Hooverville-ite, a dog catcher, and I ran the fog machine, which was dry ice in a 45-gallon drum with boiling water. It was so cool. Back then, it was just like, we just moved to town. My wife and I were bored out of our minds. We had the highest recorded VHS rental than anybody else. We kept getting free videos because we rented more than anybody else.
Good job.
And we found this little theater company that was putting on that. And I thought, well, shit, let's try that and do whatever. So it's crazy. And that was 1996. Were you born that... Yep.
I was born. I was 5, and I actually, that was when I got to do my first play. I was a little elf, and I had one line.
We're twinsies. We both got into theater at the same time.
I think I was 5. I don't actually know. Okay. I'd have to ask my mom about that. But yeah, I was 5. I had one line, and I was Santa's little helper.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it was like, we have no more coal for the stockings, and that was my line.
Can you even remember how you felt when you did that?
I had a lot of anxiety for
five-year-old. What kind of anxiety does a 5-year-old have?
Well, I was really short at that point.
Most 5-year-olds are pretty short.
And it felt so little because it was...
I see you've overcome that hurdle.
I have, yes. I am quite now a giant in my family. But it was just like, you're so little and the stage is so big and you have to take your little self to be as big as possible in this even bigger stage so that you're heard.
But did you recognize that? At 5 years old, play is play. That's what kids do, right?
Yeah.
You know, play is the evolution of developing who we are.
Yeah.
So at five,
At 5, it was more like, it was just like, oh, I'll forget my line. I have one line.
and so you, there's almost that stage element that was right there at 5.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, what if I forget my line? there's going to be dead silence. Everyone is counting on this one line.
That's interesting. Did you ever, as a kid, exhibit, I was going to say exhibitional things, but that's creepy. What I mean, like, in sense that you were wanting to get on the stage, you wanted to perform for somebody.
When I was five, I wanted to. I don't really know how to describe it, but I wanted to perform in some way. So my mom got me into this play. I was in ballet. I was not a very good ballet dancer. I will freely admit that. I was the most gangliest child and uncoordinated, so ballet was not for me. So I tried other things. But at five, I think it was like five or six, it had to have been, because I think it was before I was in ballet. And I had this one friend, and she got to be, in Midsummer's Night Dream, we had a child prop,
not
right?
Our Midsummer's Night Dream.
In Midsummer's Night Dream that we just finished, we had a child prop, right?
Oh, the one we did?
Yeah.
Oh.
So we had a child prop. She was the Christmas angel. So she was like the child prop. She just was carried around and was like the Christmas angel. She was my best
friend.
This
was Emily's child prop.
Yeah, but this is now way back when. It was like that. So I had one line. I was little Christmas elf. We didn't have any more coal. She was the child prop. I got to be the Christmas angel.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I think my sibling was also in there, and she wanted to buy a bed for her someone. This is when I was little. Like, this was like a children's play with adults assisting.
Back when you were your mom's size. Okay. Sorry, Christine, if you hear this.
She'll get over it eventually.
Yes.
She might need a ladder.
Yes. Everybody doesn't know that Christine is what, 4 foot something?
She is 4'5".
4'5". I would not. I was gonna say 4'10" or something. Like
no,
that,
no, no, no.
This is her mom, so
I am 5'9" somewhere in there.
Yeah, but she presents as 5'11". So
it's just like, when I wear heels.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways,
yeah.
But yeah, so like that was my first stage experience, and I just remember being like, "What if I forget my line?"
So that struck you right away.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I think back as a kid, I remember back in the 70s, I remember dancing like Elvis. That was such a huge thing, right? Yeah. Elvis Presley was huge in the 70s, 60s and 70s. I would, hey, look at me. I can dance just like Elvis. And I would dance like just like Elvis. And I was just this little kind of performer. And the idea of stage fright was not in my head. And I just wanted people to look at me, mind you. I was the youngest of four.
I was the first.
You're the oldest?
Yes.
So, okay, so you already had everything you wanted. I had to fight for my attention.
Well, I didn't really have everything that I wanted. So, backstory, like, I'm adopted, and my sibling is also adopted. We were adopted, like, at the same time. So it was like having twins, but 4 months apart.
The same age?
Yeah, so we were both adopted right from birth.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like having a twin. You did everything together.
Okay. Did you eventually develop separate personalities? Or
did you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Like right away.
Polarizing personalities?
Yes. So as my parents like to say, it was like night and day. I found a picture when I was going through some stuff it was like a Christmas photo, and there's me just like all happy and excited and loving life. And then there's my sibling just,
fuck you.
Just like the grouchiest face. And I showed it to my dad, and I was like, Dad, like, look, it started so early. I was just so happy about everything. It was like, I don't even know what we did that day, but I was happy.
And that continues on today, folks. It was part of the reason why I wanted her in my group to kind of counterbalance me. So
everything is just so fun and exciting.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
It depends on how you look at it, Mike.
I suppose it is. So did you do anything else? We talk about theater, but what about drawing, music, all this other stuff? You're musically inclined.
Yeah, I play the piano.
When did that start?
I was in grade 2. I begged.
Seven-ish.
Yeah, I begged my parents for a piano for like 2 years before that. And I begged for piano lessons, and they said, okay, fine, if you will stop begging, we will find a piano and find you a piano teacher. And that is what I got.
And then she complained 2 years after that for taking lessons. You don't want to take lessons. No.
Actually, no, it took like 10 years before I was like, this is, I don't want to do this anymore.
But you went right into lessons right away.
Yeah, and I had a blast, and it was probably one of my favorite things. And then in junior high, the junior high was like, hey, we're going to start a band. And I was like, I want to play another instrument. And then my parents were like, oh, no, what have we done? And I learned the clarinet.
So there's another massively impactful art form is music.
Yeah.
I mean, just about everybody can be hit pretty hard with that art form, whether you perform it or whether you just listen to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, music is everywhere. It's part of everything. Makes everything better.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's we look at all that sort of the impact of music, and I got a whole arc story to get into that, but we'll save that for a whole podcast. Mm-hmm. How, you know, everybody has their music and their jam, and they sit and whatever. And what's your main jam
right now?
Yeah. Or your life jam. Who? Yeah. You know, you want. There's right now music and there's nostalgia music.
So currently I am re-listening to my iPod Touch from high school.
Ooh.
I'm at a phase in my life where I can't handle the new music, like the new pop music. But my kids enjoy listening to it because it's fun, it's catchy, it's dancey. But I can't handle it. It's repetitive. It's the same thing over and over again. And here I am listening to this the stuff that I listened to in high school. Oh, I guess I should.
You make us guess?
I should say something.
Was it fresh in the 90s?
I don't actually know.
Okay.
It's like Nightwish. It's like a.
Never heard of that. Nightwish. Oh, our audience in here. So, well, some of us know. Have you heard of Nightwish?
They're like a heavier, like metal-y.
They're Celtic.
It's like very female melodic. Yeah, it's very. It's like think of like heavy metal with opera.
Oh, so we got got some tech people here and some friends. They don't have to be quiet by all means.
But yeah, that's currently what I'm re-listening to and
to an iPad.
You know, iPod Touch.
iPod Touch. You know,
and I still have I had a little radio docking station, and I still have that, and it's got the speakers, and it's got the little remote, so I can be like.
4 months ago, I found mine in a box.
And I squealed with so much joy, and my husband made fun of me, and then he realized that I still had the iPod Touch that he gave me in high school. Yeah, like...
Okay. I had a story, but now I got to jump to this story. So back when I was in high school, my iPod Touch was called a mixtape. And you had to follow the radio to hit the right song. And if you missed the first 5 seconds, you were screwed. And you spent hours to make one two-sided cassette. That was our mixtape. That was our iPod or whatever.
Okay, but did you... do your own DJing in between songs while also recording.
I did.
just me blabbering. That was viruses with LimeWire.
LimeWire.
Yeah.
Napster, LimeWire. This was the sharing of art. The massive sharing of art. So, it was interesting because one thing I wanted to bring up. We could have whole episodes about this at one point.
Yeah.
But my wife and I were driving back from Edmonton on Thursday. And prior to that, I was scrolling through my TikTok, and somebody would say, what's the greatest rock song ever? And everybody was giving off their opinion. And one guy said, Lips of an Angel by Hinder. And it's like, oh, my God.
Oh.
Oh, my God. It struck a chord. And so we plugged that in, and we're listening to Hinder, Lips of an Angel. It's such a great song. It's just like, oh, you seem like you're really emotionally affected.
That was like emo phase track tape.
Oh, was it?
And it was like the breakup song of.
Oh, it was a breakup song. See, I didn't see it as that. To me, it's like it's the one you left behind, the missed one. You had this thing with the perfect one, and then
you break up, and then you break up, but this, and then you're with someone else, and like she's just never gonna be that other person, and you're talking to this other person on the phone.
10 years later, I see it as 10 years.
Oh no, like in my head, in my emo, depressive. High school age, it was like the next week he's talking back with the girl that he broke up with, and they were like the perfect love match for 2 weeks, and now he's with this other girl because he couldn't make up his goddamn mind.
So anyways, we're listening to this and we start talking about that, and it's something I said quite some time ago, and I can't remember it was for my buddies at Real Life Opinions. That's the other podcast I'm part of, but we'll talk about that later. Corey, Jeff, and Laura, hi. I had mentioned that when you receive that art, or when you perceive it, it's just as important as what that art is.
Yeah.
So when you're 18 or 16 or whatever it is, and you're listening to Lips of an Angel, what does that mean now that you're 30 or 35? Or, you know, because, I mean, I was – my jam probably it was Huey Lewis. Huey Lewis in the News. It's quite upbeat and, you know, and that sort of thing. But – you know, we all went to these depressive routes, and now that I'm much older, there's like if you were to have never heard Lips of an Angel and heard it now, how would that change how you perceive it?
Toxic. Oh, it's
toxic.
It's so toxic. It's so cringy.
Is it?
It's so like if you
hear it and you're just like, my God, my guy.
This is why I can't listen to, like, I'm having such a hard time listening to, like, the newer pop stuff, because it's all cringy. It's all, that was very new age of me. It's just, it's.
It's cringy, new stuff word.
Hashtag, I don't know. Hashtag cringe.
I remember listening to it and I felt so empathetic for both women, where I'm just like, why do you want this guy? Like, he's.
Like, well, what is, like, why? Like, why is he, does he have, like, the right kind? He's such a Chad.
Yeah.
A Chad?
He's got the popped collars, and he's like, I'm the coolest dude ever.
Oh, with the cardigan flipped over and the tied in the front?
Yeah.
Like, every guy had that as his ringtone,
too. Yeah.
Every guy.
Oh,
and it was,
really?
Like, and it was, yeah, it was just, it was,
see,
like.
See. You guys
went to big school.
Okay, so.
No, I did not.
I did.
So that then there's another question, the art between the woman listening to it and the man listening to it,
like,
and how that perception goes.
There's just so much, like, I feel so bad for the women he's singing about.
Well, no. So, okay, see, he's not doing anything. You can't control thoughts, right? It's not like.
But he's hiding in another room, whispering into the phone to the other person. That is not healthy. For anyone.
Okay, I never saw it as that.
Is it in the lyrics?
Yes.
We need to find the lyrics. It's.
Why are you calling me so late at night?
Yeah.
Kind of hard to talk right now.
He's calling another.
My girl's in the next room.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, yeah. See, that's not necessarily nefarious. Like, you're sitting there chilling. My baby's taking a nap, and you call me out of the blue after.
So late at night. If anyone's phoning after 9 o'clock.
It's a time zone difference. What if she's in a different province?
If she is aware of the time zone of where he is. If you're phoning after 9 o'clock, someone else's dude, you are there to cause problems.
How does she know he has another?
Okay, because if it was like the baby, like you said, the lyric wouldn't have been, well, my girl's in the next room, sometimes I wish she was you. Yeah, I totally want this baby to be you.
Yeah, it's not. It's not talking about a little baby. It's talking about.
And this is the beauty of art. You're drawing conclusions to that line. If we present this as, I'm going to tell a little story here for everybody. We got this woman somewhere else in this world, and she's having this relationship, and she just broke up with her boyfriend or whatever, or he left. And so she's feeling blue. So she's, oh, man, I remember so-and-so. We had a shoot, you know, and all that. I'm going to give him a call and try and lift my... He calls up. She calls him. So now he picks up the phone. Holy shit.
But he's still hiding that phone call.
Well, give him a freaking heartbeat to respond. What are you going to do? Really? Fuck you.
Yeah.
Hang up.
That's... He's hiding in the other room.
He's...
You're... So that's... Okay. So...
A healthy relationship would be like, you can't be phoning right now.
Well, maybe he does that after he hangs up. You know what? This is great talking to you.
He's not going
to
say, I wish she was you.
To her, maybe. Why not? Like, sometimes, you know, we had it so good.
Okay, so.
I know what you're getting at.
You have an ex-girlfriend and she has phoned you. And Kathy is sleeping right next to you.
Oh, I got a story. Continue.
And you say that to this girl on the phone. How is Kathy going to feel?
Oh, she would feel like shit.
Yeah.
Especially after you write a song saying.
Oh, if I wrote the song. Oh, yeah. No, I totally understand.
You're saying that the other girl has the lips of an angel, not the person that you're with.
I get that.
So toxic. It's awful. It's
sometimes I wish she was you. Meaning, I have...
Mike
in his place.
Sorry.
Look, I just don't want to condemn the man. It's just like... you know, it's the nature of all rom-coms.
No, but
I don't want to be rude to you because you were important. You had some very loving things that my wife doesn't have. My wife has things that are very loving that you don't have, and I just don't want to be rude. And
be rude.
There's a point in your life where you have to have a spine and to be rude.
I'm with
my boundaries.
So could you not?
You don't have to be mean.
That's what I'm saying.
But you don't have to accept a phone call late at night from your ex-girlfriend.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Hey, look, we just had this conversation. Oh, shit. You know what? This ain't right. You know, thanks for calling. You know, send me an email. But I'm married now. Have a nice life. Click. And then it's just like no harm's really done.
But then no harm is actually done. You're not sitting there whispering into the
phone. Oh, it's after all that. You do that after you do that. Now, let's be clear. I would never do that myself. just saying, you know. But I could totally understand.
How I Met Your Mother. Nothing good ever happens after 2. You answer the phone, you don't open the door.
And my line is 9 o'clock.
See, that's
So this is before you could block phone numbers.
So let me, I totally understand what you're saying. I do, and I absolutely understand the hurt that could potentially cause. You know, but it's just like now you're assuming that he is absolutely totally in love. That could be his part-time crack whore, at the moment. And we don't know that, and there's nothing good comes out of dishonesty.
Absolutely nothing.
And I totally agree. Honesty is valuable, but I don't know. I'm just saying that I feel there's a difference between how the man and the woman views art. So
how the listener interprets the
Well, that's
and
true.
How the listener views it, but that's what they have
music videos for.
Someone else's interpretation of that, what's going on in that music video. Because someone else's vision of the music video could be totally different than what you perceive.
Ah, I love that. And that's the thing. The perception is everything, and it doesn't never, it's never perceived the same way by two different people.
To go, I love music videos. I love to see someone's perception.
Oh, they're so...
But like going back to your, I just recently watched Three Bodies.
Three body
problem. It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
And there's like that one guy who is in love with the one girl, but he keeps sleeping around with other people because they're not exclusive.
Oh,
and it's just like, so like I can understand the Lips of an Angel in that scenario. They haven't decided to be exclusive. She is doing her own thing. So they're and now it's relatable on a different level in a modern day situation.
Safe to say there's exceptions to every rule.
Yeah. But
no,
it is not.
It should be.
highly recommend this TV series. It's fantastic.
Okay.
Back to art.
Well, I was going to say the another song, like, I just loved the song. It was a nice sound, and I could relate to the idea that you have mixed emotions between different people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, we can all love people for different reasons.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I very much agree with that. But when I perceived it as a young 16-year-old girl, I was very angry. about pretty much everything. So,
I was going to say that one wasn't super impactful, other than the fact that I really liked the melody and it was kind of cool.
Oh yeah, the melody's cool.
But one song, Creed, arms wide open.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Stained.
Because that's
Stained.
A good one.
No, I don't know Stained.
Stained is the band.
Okay. So Creed, Arms Wide Open. Now, I don't know when that song came out, but I only recognized it in 2001, about the week before my son was born.
Oh.
And it was just like, I was listening to the radio, and like, bam, this song hit me. It's like, holy shit. Okay, so that's a cool song. And if you know that one, that guy wrote it for his son, too.
Oh,
so. 99. So it was out 2 years before I recognized it. So
I'm going to have to listen to that.
Oh, I forgot your son is young. Like, what do you mean? You recognized it right before he was born. 99. That's two extra
years. What's the name of the song again?
Arms Wide Open.
Arms Wide Open.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of those songs. Yeah, it's funny how to do that. But that's music, and I think all art has a certain element of that perception and all that sort of thing. How it changed over the years too.
Mm-hmm.
We Kathy and I went on this this whole tangent about okay, your music, what are you a child of? What decade?
The 90s.
So that was your teenage years.
Oh, my teenage years was like the 2000s.
So that's my question. If I say I'm a child of the 80s, that's because those were my teenage years. That's what I consciously recognize. But in the 80s, my hormones and everybody's hormones are raging. And so you're perceiving these music, these, you know, Lips of an Angel, Stroke, and I'm Too Sexy for My Shirt. All these crazy songs have a different impact when you're 50 and your daughter's listening or your son's listening to I'm Too Sexy for. It's like, turn that shit off. You know, what kind of crap are you listening to?
Oh my god, the thong song.
Thong song. Oh, I can just imagine.
So everybody in junior high was singing that, not knowing what it was or what
the other. That 50 Cent song, Party Like It, or yeah, Candy Shop. Yeah. And I remember like listening to them, like, wow, that sounds so good. And then I listened to it like 2 years later from the first time I had listened to it. I was like, I should not be listening to this at all. This is bad.
And Was It Me by Shaggy was another one
in
that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I know that one. Yeah.
And that I still laugh at that song.
Well, you know what? This is actually a good start. This is our inaugural, our first podcast.
Yay.
Of what's the name of it?
Raging Imagination.
And who are we?
The Raging Imagineers.
Woo! Okay, so I think that was interesting for me. I hope it was interesting for everybody else. But we're probably going to call this here. Is there anything else you want to say? Anything, last thoughts anybody wants to drop on us? And, you know, when you're standing at the door and you say goodbye and an hour and a half later and you're gone, you know?
100% do that all the freaking time. That's why I was.
I was late.
So we were all late. We all snuck out.
All of us.
What's that?
Deb was here.
We were all here.
Time or early. I was late, but I was It's just been a day.
Okay. So, you know what? Let's shut this podcast down. And we're going to call it an afternoon for this week. But we want to try and bring everybody in for the future. We got a lot of things to talk about. It's going to be about how art, all art affects us, mm-hmm. and how art brings us together, how art separates us, how all the emotions and anything we can. And my hope is that we're going to do some massive interviews. We got one interview lined up for next week. I don't know how to say it, but it's an amazing story of somebody who had tragedy affect them and helped create their art. And hopefully everybody can find positivity in their negativity and turn all the bad stuff into good stuff and embrace all the emotions, because they're all important to us and they all make us who we are. So, good evening.
Good evening.
Good night.
Good night.
Hurry, heat up meters! Yeah! Yeah! Hurry, heat up meters! Whoa! Whoa!